Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. And I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Ed Yordan's here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Ed is an original founding member of our Brain Trust. In fact, as you know, we're celebrating our 17th anniversary of our broadcast. And in January, we'll celebrate his 17th anniversary with us. He's already had his 16th anniversary. He's in the Computer Hall of Fame. He's the author of, I don't know how many books, something under 100 books that have sold something under a billion copies across the galaxy. He's a Jedi Master, ladies and gentlemen. I consider him to be that in the world of technology, all the different kinds of technology. And he's our good friend, Ed Yordan. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Hey, Ed, one of the things I want to talk about in that you have on your mind today, I want to talk about the long-term impact of technology on society. Now, I don't think you know this, and my audience doesn't know much about it, but I'm writing a book about this.
Oh, are you? Fantastic.
Yes. And I'm writing a book about technology as if humanity matters.
I remember you mentioned that to me once before.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I guess I probably did. And you've been thinking a lot about that too. And can you share some of your ideas? You know, my point of view, Ed, is technology is designed for humans, for the human form factor and for what humans want and need. And humans, the human form factor, is an immediate advocate for itself, very aggressive, immediate advocate for itself. But humanity is ultimately where a lot of this stuff, gets the residual of a lot of this stuff over generations. It doesn't advocate for itself. It's a very passive advocate. And that's the position I'm taking as we embrace technology as humans, should we consider what it means to humanity? What do you think?
I really think we should, and I think any parent or grandparent sees this because you watch the way your children or grandchildren react to technology and realize how different it is, what different assumptions they have, or mostly what assumptions they don't have, and that sometimes enables them to do things that never imagined, and other times helps them avoid all kinds of mistakes or bad behaviors that that we did. But all of this is taking place in a society that, as you say, tends to be very short-term, not only in terms of how we all react as human beings, to short-term gratification, but
right.
Also the Wall Street pressure and, the pressure to get new products out every
right.
year and so on. And that's what we're surrounded by, but if you look at it over a long period, I've been in the computer field for 50 years now, you do begin to realize this secondary issue that you mentioned, that humanity has a very long horizon. when you look at things, for example, like Siri, Cortana, or anything.
Remind some of the people what Siri is.
Siri is the helper tool on your iPhone.
Right.
Microsoft has one. Google has one.
Yeah.
And they're still imperfect and rough and kind of frustrating and primitive, but if you imagine how this will continue slowly and incrementally improving so that 10 years from now our kids and grandchildren have got really a personal assistant beyond
right.
anything we can imagine now.
It's a form of artificial intelligence, isn't it?
It is, and it grows little by little by little. I mean, every year or so when I start asking Siri, the assistant on my iPhone, some questions that I would never have dreamed of asking a year ago, I'm just amazed by the sophistication of its answers.
Information. And so that's helping you immediately as a human, but over writ large, over a population, over a society, when everybody is doing that, look at the implications as all that behavior bumps up against each other. Look at the behavior for society. That's what and when I talk about these things, Ed, I'm not being a Luddite. When you're talking about him, you're not being a Luddite. You're, of all people, are not a Luddite. What we're saying is, folks, just because we can doesn't mean we should. That's what I think. What do you think, Ed?
I certainly agree, and I think that people in my circle, you know, the technology elite people, really have no way of knowing what will or will not be appropriate or useful or desirable.
Have you read the article, the Elon Musk piece, where he's Elon Musk is, folks, as you know, is the very, you probably met him, Eddie, maybe a good friend of yours, but he's the guy who was eBay, he founded eBay, and then now he's doing the electric car. What's the word?
The Tesla car.
The Tesla, yeah. I mean, he's a very sharp guy, and he's saying that he's concerned about the future of artificial intelligence. He's worried. He's afraid it could become dangerous. Artificial intelligence.
He is, and there have been some very thoughtful rebuttals of that remark, indicating that AI is centuries away from doing dangerous things and you know, taking control of the human race and so forth.
But see, that's the horizon that humanity has.
That's true. That's true. Hopefully we're still going to be around as a species 100 years from
right.
now. But I think in the meantime, we're going to have all of these very modest, humble AI capabilities that dramatically enrich not just the lives of the technology elite,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, the entire planet, because the technology is getting affordable. You know, I sent you that one link a day or so ago indicating that by the end of this decade, 90% of the world population
yes.
over the age of 6
yep.
will have a smartphone.
I reported some of that in my new book.
And
most of these people, have never turned on a computer.
That's right. They've never had a computer. They've never seen one.
They never had it. They still don't have a microwave or a car or a refrigerator.
Right. But they are quickly getting their hands on mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
And those have now got the same. They've got actually more like 1,000 or a million times more capability than the computers that I
right.
used when I
That's
first
right.
started working.
No question. No question about it. Yeah. So folks, you know, one quick thing that we can see very quickly is the impact that social media and technology has had on the interpersonal skills of young people. That's been a very quick turnaround, hasn't it?
It has been very, very quick. I mean, you see that when you go out on the street of any crowded city like New York where
mm-hmm.
I live, that everybody is interacting with social media.
But not with the person standing next to them.
No, with people all over the world.
Yeah.
And sometimes in ways that our generation might consider completely inappropriate. But,
right. That's right.
You know, this generation has changed their behavior.
That's right. Hold on to that thought, Ed. We're going to take a quick break. Yourdon.com, YOURDON.com is his website. And all the books are there. Quick break, 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.